You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
As Walmart wraps up its public relations media conference in Arkansas today, former Walmart worker Greg Pierce says that morale among Walmart workers is very low, and they often talk with each other about the national campaign to improve conditions for Walmart workers. Pierce says in addition to low wages and inadequate health care, Walmart workers often face abrupt changes and reductions in their work hours. He's convinced that a union is the only real hope Walmart workers have to improve their conditions, and he says to make that happen, Walmart workers should stand up and speak out for their rights.
Martin Luther King Jr. said that oppression can only survive through silence. And if I had one more thing to say, I would call for all Walmart workers that have something to say and that want their voice to be heard to go ahead and speak out. You're an American. You have that ability. Use it.
New York City transit workers have voted to approve a contract offering the same terms as one they rejected in January, but it's unclear whether the vote will result in a contract agreement. A judge has hit TWU Local 100 with a $2.5 million fine, and its leader, Roger Toussaint, with a 10-day jail sentence for last year's illegal strike. The fine is likely to be appealed. New York City's Mass Transit Board, meanwhile, will be presented with the union's contract vote at its meeting on April 26th.
Two-thirds of national workplace injuries may be missed by the current surveillance system used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to a study in the April issue of the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the Bureau of Labor Statistics failed to account for 61% of work-related injuries and illness. The study was conducted by Dr. Kenneth D. Rosenman at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Rosenman and his colleagues combined four databases used to identify workplace injuries, resulting in more than seven missed workdays over a three-year period in the state of Michigan. Their study found 79,400 injuries and illnesses fitting their criteria, while the Bureau only reported 30,800 in that same time period. In the study, Rosenman suggests factors that may contribute to the BLS missing data. For example, the government system excludes federal workers and the self-employed. The study suggests that if the Bureau switched to a census system, such as the one used to track work-related deaths, it would help improve reporting.
The Boston Marathon this week attracted a half million spectators and thousands of runners, including WIN's own Greg Gordon, who finished in 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 seconds. That qualifies him for next year's run, but he says the 26 miles was a tough run psychologically.
I lost the psychological battle because even though my time is fantastic, I finished in the top 10% of everyone. Mentally and psychologically, it was a tremendous struggle for the entire race. My mind drifted and I kept counting the miles and counting every step.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. This is a special edition of Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. Tonight we're going to have guest hosts. That would be John Fox and Bruce Birch. And we're sorry Bob was unavailable to be here, but we're trying a little bit of something different, something new. And we hope that you all will enjoy it. So without further ado, then we're going to bring on John Fox.
G'day. This is not Bob. As Agnes said, this is John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio, and my partner in crime, Bruce Birch, should be joining me sometime shortly from California. First of all, g'day, everybody. I know this is probably a little bit of a shock for you. I don't think you've ever heard anybody else in this chair before. However, we're going to do the best, very, very best we can. And don't forget, this is conversation radio here on the Head On Radio Network. And you can get in on the program. And believe me, with what we've had to do today, I'd love for you to get on the program. Dial us in at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Anyway, folks, is this world going nuts or is it me? I've been trying to get my head around what goes on in the news over the last couple of weeks, and I swear, I think it's becoming more insane than any of the insanity that I remember from the Cold War growing up. But what are you going to do? I guess make noise, which is the whole point of this. But one of the things I thought I'd get into, because, well, I can. I have a thing over here called a newspaper, which I don't buy them very often because I get most of it online. However, I had to get this because a very good friend of Fourth Estate Radio, Mr. Anthony Lowenstein, had the lead article in Murdoch's Australian yesterday, or actually the lead op-ed piece, and you can find it if you go to theaustralian.com.au, I believe it is, and you can find it in yesterday's opinion section. Now, for those of you who may have caught some of our lecture series that we do on the network, the very first one that we did was Anthony himself doing a little thing called Spinning Us to War, where he talked about all the nonsense going on with Iran and everything else, how it's a media ploy. Now, Anthony gets himself into a bit of hot water from time to time, shall we say, because he doesn't toe the normal, shall we say, guidelines when it comes to speaking about the Israel-Palestine question and America's role in Israel. And Anthony had a very, very interesting piece, and it's titled, Don't Let Any Lobby Shut Down the Debate. And I have a feeling that you probably didn't even hear about this over there in the States, because the opening line says, two distinguished U.S. international relations specialists are being demonized for criticizing Washington's close relationship with Israel. Have we heard this before? Now, I have a feeling I'm going to get maybe possibly a couple of nasty calls as I read through a little bit of this. Because I think Anthony, as he always does, has some great points. And you can also find the article at AnthonyLowenstein.com, and there's a link to Anthony's site at FourthEstateRadio.com. Anyway, just to give you the top of this piece here, because I think this all plays into the mess that is becoming the Middle East. I mean, if I were Iran or Palestine, I would be very, very worried about whether or not I was going to be alive in the next couple of years. Anyway, Anthony writes, recent academic study on the Israel lobby by political scientist John Mersheimer of the University of Chicago and Stephen Walt of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government has caused a political storm in the U.S. Their article was accepted, but then rejected by the Atlantic Monthly. It was eventually published in the London Review of Books. The study says that the U.S. has been willing to set aside its security and that of many of its allies in order to advance the interests of another state, and that the Israel lobby has managed to convince Americans that U.S. interests and those of Israel are essentially identical, which they are not. Now, Anthony gave me a ring yesterday to tell me that he had actually gotten this in Murdoch's largest paper here in Australia, which is a coup. And, of course, we discussed that maybe it's just a bit of a move to publish an article like this so that they can claim to have actually, had both sides of the conversation. However, the hate mail started even before he got up yesterday morning. And that usually means that Anthony is right on the mark, as he usually is. This is a guy that you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot more from, I do believe. He has a very, very unique perspective on this because he himself is Jewish, but yet he does not support the blind lockstep U.S.-Israel policy. You know, he does believe that Palestinians have as much a right to a life and freedom as any Israeli. Now, one of the things that really got me frustrated watching our news down here last night was the bombing, the suicide bombing in Israel yesterday. It goes straight back to what Seymour Hersh told us in the interview that we did a couple months ago, that you have to frame things a certain way or else you will be labeled an anti-Semite. And this is a scary thing. I mean, this has led our international policy down a very, very bad road, and it's been a very dishonest road, if you ask me. You know, why, when we constantly are talking about freedom and democracy and all this kind of stuff, why are we supporting a theocracy? I mean, this is a big question to me. It goes against every tenet. But then again, our own administration is going against every tenet of the United States Constitution. You know, they're claiming to be working for the president. You know, that they've sworn an oath to defend the president, not the Constitution. Something really, really mismatched there. But I was really hoping to get Ant in today, but as authors go, when you have a book coming out, life tends to be a bit hectic, so he had to pass today, and maybe we'll get him on sometime shortly. But the other thing that I found interesting in the same opinion section, one second, as I go and grab said paper, and this very much surprised me in Murdoch's Australian, because I say it's the largest paper. It doesn't have the largest circulation, but it is the political paper. This is where politics get bashed out in Australia. And this is great. Philip Adams down here, the title of his op-ed from yesterday was, "Lock him away to stop the next war." With his presidency reduced to a mess, George W. Bush may just decide to lash out wildly at Iran. And he goes right along the lines of what a lot of, I believe, that the man is certifiably nuts. And I don't know if you can get in trouble for saying that, but the guy is certifiable. And, you know, anyone who believes that they have some sort of divine calling to go and invade other nations and declare a false religious war, I mean, you know, you look, more and more of this is screaming the dominionists again. You know, is Israel just a pawn in this, or is Israel actively playing in this? You know, this is one of those conversations that's very difficult to have because it's very emotional, and it's drawn completely on emotional lines. And this is one of the reasons why I do dig Antony's take, because he's very unemotional about it. He, not to say that he doesn't feel anything, but he doesn't let his own, you know, beliefs and opinions line him up against other fellow human beings. And I think this is one of the things that, if you ask me, oh man, I'm expecting to get hammered for this, but when you follow, a doctrine like Zionism, where it's, you know, a state for your religion, that scares me. That scares me to death. Because as an agnostic, I want the choice not to. Because I don't believe in any of it. But that's a whole other story. And we're going to be heading into our first break here in about a minute or two. So don't forget to get in on the conversation. You can ring us at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. You know, this is Conversation Radio. Ring us in. Tell us what you want to talk about. You know, this is Conversation Radio. We need to talk about things if we're ever going to get anywhere. And I see that my buddy Bruce Birch has just kind of popped up. So as soon as we take this little break, I reckon we'll be connecting up with him, and you will have the complete package of Fourth Estate Radio hijacking head on. Is this Fourth Head Radio? I'm not sure. Anyway, we are a fledgling network, and we do what we have to do to make things work. And here we are. We're gonna ride this puppy today, and try and do justice to the man Bob Kincaid as he takes care of some family issues in Alabama, and we wish him and his family all the best, because our hearts are with you, mate. But you know, we're going to get Bruce on, so things will open up wide. Who knows? We might even get into our 9/11 conversation from Saturday again. Who knows? But I think I'm about to hear some music come up. And as I said, you can ring into the program, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, or email me at John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. Send us your questions or comments, and we will see you straight after this break with Bruce Birch.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. And no, I am not Bob Kincaid, but I do believe I am John Fox.
Really?
Yeah, and over in California, connecting up with me through the magic of the internet is my best mate, Bruce Birch. How you going, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, John. What happened today? Did you take over the Head On radio show? What happened here?
Well, you know, we're a big family here, man, and one of the families got things he needs to concentrate on that are more important than this at the moment. So you and I are here to fill in some space and try and occupy that bit of energy that Bob gives us, you know, every day through
absolutely.
The week. So how's California?
California today is absolutely sunny. Went over the Donner Pass yesterday into Lake Tahoe. You know, only 3 feet of snow fell over Sunday night. You know, it was an average day.
Only 3 feet.
I think they said that the snow base up there was like 15 feet or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and you know, they have these huge trucks that are corkscrews that are like big, gigantic snow blowers, man. I'm like, these people are they're serious about some snow removal, man. It blows my mind. I'm like, wow. You know, if I had that in Greensboro, I'd never use it. Never, you know, because we get like 3 inches of snow there, and everybody buys all the milk and the eggs and the, you know, the bread and the, you know, Pop-Tarts and things that are easy to eat. So.
Yeah. Hey, man.
It's good to be covering for Bob tonight. What's on the agenda? I just got in here, so tell me what's going on.
Well, mate, there has been really no agenda so far. So, I opened up talking about Anthony's piece in the Australian, and I'm hoping that people go and have a read because, you know, as you know, in that lost show of ours, we had a really great interview with Ant, and we lost it. But it's a really, really great piece where he talks about the Israeli lobby with the U.S. and how the U.S. probably guides their foreign policy more towards Israel than its own interests at times. And the hate mail started before he even got up yesterday, as usually happens with when Anthony writes a piece, because he really does look at things fairly as far as I'm concerned, which means looking at all sides. But
how do you get to his blog, John? Just so
it's AnthonyLowenstein.com.
Lowenstein or Lowenstein?
Lowenstein, IEN. And actually on the fourthestateradio.com site there is a direct link to his blog.
Oh,
and the article is available there and also on the Australian. Now, we've got a couple people on hold, man, so I think we should get some calls in. First on line one, we have the one, the only Jim. Jim, are you there?
Hello?
Jim!
Hi, how are you?
How you going, mate? Welcome to Head On, not with Bob Kincaid, but with Bruce and John.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to have you on. I hope things are going to go well with everyone. In the Kincaid household, we have our best wishes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Our best wishes and prayers and thoughts go out to Bob right now and Bob's dad. That's,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, hopefully this will be resolved in a really nice way. So
these things just happen, unfortunately. And, you know, that's just the way of it at this kind of time. Pursuant to what you were saying about Israel, you know, you have proclaimed yourself as an agnostic. Well, I am not, and that's fine. Because, you know, my expression of faith as a Christian is a leap into the unknown, in a way.
Absolutely.
Which you've preferred not to take, and that is fine.
But I also think that they're all. Before you go on, Jim, I just want to clarify it.
Okay.
Just minorly. I actually see. This is one of the things that I think is slightly misunderstood about us agnostics, because we're kind of a very, very ununderstood group.
I do believe
very much in spirituality. Okay, I believe very much in it. I just happen personally to think that the organized religions all have something, either an error, or I don't like what they do as a body outside of the actual faithful.
Well,
and
know, a lot of...
So I have trouble I have trouble signing on. I was raised in a Lutheran church, was confirmed in an Episcopalian church. I do believe Christ existed and all these things. It just happens to be that I hold back because I think that maybe they're all close but not quite there. But I do not discount anyone's faith in any way.
No. That was not my reason for mentioning that. I was simply saying, right. You know, I respect your position, okay?
Mm.
Very much so. And I hope that I know that you respect mine. But as far as the role of Israel today is concerned, one can understand quite easily why its neighbors would be very much alarmed. I mean, Israel, I don't think has been nearly as cooperative in trying to coexist with its Palestinian neighbors as it could have been. And this has caused a lot of hard feelings. I mean, you can go back to the days of Menachem Begin and the Stern Gang and that crowd. I mean, they certainly were an interesting group of people. Talk about terrorists. And in their own way, they have certainly perpetrated a certain form of terrorism. And the Arab states surrounding it are scared. I mean, look at the activities of the Kamal, the Sullivan Kamal in Pakistan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has been in cahoots with the Libyans, the Saudis, and God only knows who else, and was instrumental in helping Pakistan develop their own nuclear bomb. And also may have been involved indirectly, even after he got a slap on the wrist from the Palestinian president, whom Bush called something like his main man or whatever.
Yeah.
These arms could very well be in Iran. As a matter of fact, I understand that they found hemispheres of weapons-grade plutonium. And there's only one reason you put that stuff in a hemisphere, and that is to make a bomb. So, naturally, people are frightened. And in this country, I think the reason you have a lot of support for Israel is because of the biblical references to I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And this is the thing that is, I think, a leitmotif or recurring theme among evangelical Christians.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, I constantly, whenever these things come up, when it comes to Israel and Palestine and all this, I constantly go back to Robert Fisk, where he talks about that you're not allowed to actually honestly frame the discussion. You know, there is this bias. So, you know, if you, you know, say that, you know, the wall is a wall and not a fence, you're an anti-Semite. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
but I don't refer anything anti-Semitic in what I said. I'm just calling a spade a spade.
Oh, exactly. That's what I mean. We're not allowed to actually have the honest debate. And this is one of the things, you know, with Anthony being a really good mate of mine, I get a really close perspective to what comes back at him. And it's amazing. It really, really astounds me sometimes the hateful things that come back at a guy like this, who is actually being, in my mind, much more open about the real dialogue. And Bob talks about this, I talk about this, Bruce and I have talked about this at great length. It's all about getting control of the discussion again, because the discussions are all hijacked.
You know, currently, Israel does have nuclear hegemony in the Middle East. But I don't think that position is going to last very long, to be honest with you. Because I believe there are too many nukes out there that are unaccounted for, that are in the hands of a lot of people, and there are a lot of people who would like to pay for them, okay? I mean, even the nuclear weapons that have come from the successor states of the former Soviet Union, there are many hundreds that are unaccounted for, even suitcase weapons, that type of thing. And I think you're going to have and I'll call it the second nuclear age, okay, for lack of a better term, which is being established among the Arab states. And I think Saudi Arabia is very much of a player in this. They say not, but I don't believe them. But I believe that they will have them, and if they don't have them already. And, you know, I don't know why. And as far as people like George Bush is concerned, I feel that he is just as mad as a hatter. And Mark there.
No doubt. And the thing where the mad as a hatter thing really scares me is the version of fundamentalist Christianity that it comes from is a dominionist point of view. And that really, really puts a very scary twist on the whole situation, because
the pages of history are stained by the blood of that type of thinking.
Well, and I am very fearful that George W. Bush thinks that if he actually is able to instigate the destruction of Israel, will bring on the second coming.
Well, this is where they're headed. They want to, I guess, maybe provoke God into go ahead and bringing it on earlier than it should be. But, you know, I have news for them. I don't think it's going to work, because I don't think God in his almighty majesty is going to do anything quicker than he wants to do it. And that's just my personal position, okay? And George Bush and his minions like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and God only knows who others, they can say and do what they want to. But I think these men already are showing what they are, and by their fruits they're being known. Or at least by me and the people whom I talk to. And I think that it's a matter of time until they will be found out. And I hope it's not too late, because I really believe that Bush, in order to save himself or his regime, and I'm going to call it a regime because that's what it is. I don't even refer to it as an administration anymore. It's a regime. I believe they're going to try to precipitate something with Iran. And they have a plan right in place, in which requires only his signature to give the time and the date for, you know, the jumping off period for this operation. And it will probably come in the time to influence the 2006 elections.
Well, and I would actually, this is Bruce, Jim, and thanks for fantastic having you on. I was actually going to the plans that you're talking about, that there's actually a plan in place to bring it much, much quicker than the 2006 elections.
Well, I thought so too. I thought May 15th might be the jumping off date.
I don't know if you listened to the show that I did on Sunday night, but the first hour I did on Iran, and one of the things that came up during that first hour and the stories that I was reading from around the world and bringing to people's attention was that the plans for Iran to invade Iran actually predated the plans to invade Iraq.
I know.
And that this very idea, I mean, the entire Iraq situation may very well, one of the reasons why they may not be giving it all that they can to finish it and get out of there is because it was originally intended to be a staging area.
Intended to be a what? I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay. What I said was it's quite possible that the reason why the U.S. military and the Bush administration has not worked harder to get out of Iraq is that it was always originally intended to be a staging area to invade Iran.
Possibly, but I guess Pharaoh thought that the Red Sea might have been a staging area to catch the Israelites. So that's exactly where our armies are going to be if something should erupt with Iran, I believe, to be honest with you.
I agree.
And one more thing, as far as these generals who are speaking up against Rumsfeld. Now, I've worked in the belly of the beast. I'm retired DOD federal civilian. And I can tell you this. These men, while in uniform, really couldn't say anything because they could go to jail because under Article 88 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, they would have been slapped in leg irons, I'm sure. But already, when you have General Eric Shinseki, who even made a comment about a couple hundred thousand, that offended Rumsfeld so much. And Rumsfeld's the kind of person, he's really not only a prima donna, he's a prima donna assoluta. I mean, he has to leave the entire Bolshoi, okay? And sure. He came in allegedly to try to destroy some of the parochialism that was in the armed services as a stiff broom. Well, that stiff broom is transitioning from a stiff broom into being a wire brush. And he denigrates anyone who disagrees with him. I mean, he can tolerate no dissent whatsoever. I mean, General Shinseki sat there for 18 months because he had just used the term a couple hundred thousand men, which was not in accord with or IAW, Bush and Rumsfeld and General Franks. And, of course, You've had other generals come out now that they're in civilian clothes to say, you know, this is just folly. It's madness. And this is the goal they're pursuing is one of just it's just insanity.
Well, it is insanity, and I think it's quite interesting. This is the first time that we've ever actually had a huge contingent of retired generals come out and really make their political positions known, especially about the commanding of our armies. And you know, I was listening to the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour on the way into the program this evening, up from the Sacramento airport, and you know, he had on two generals, one on each side, one saying that this is a good thing, and the other saying that this is a bad thing. You know, that these generals have come out and are speaking out about this, and personally, from the standpoint of democracy and the kind of government that we enjoy or used to enjoy, I think it's a fantastic thing that these generals are coming out because they need to. You know, we civilians don't necessarily know how to run an army or know how to run a war. You know, they do, and if we need to let them do that.
Exactly, and you know, as far as Rumsfeld is concerned. Let's say this, and this is wishful thinking. I mean, you know, it would not surprise me if tomorrow, if he were to make an announcement. Well, I decided to enjoy the comfort of my family and return to its bosom. Because, I mean, you know, who wants to die the death of a thousand knives? And that's exactly what he's headed for. And I hope so. And, yeah. You know.
Well, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Well, Jim, thanks. I was going to say thanks for calling in tonight. We got another caller we want to try to get to.
Appreciate the time.
It's really good to chat with. Yeah, it's really great to chat with you tonight. It's the first time we've been on the air with you, so I'm glad that it went off well.
I am too, and I wish you all the best of luck for your broadcast the remainder of the time in which you're in your seats.
Thanks,
well,
Jim.
Thank you.
We appreciate
thank you so
much.
It.
Okay, and we have.
God bless.
Sorry, Jim.
Yes.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Same thing.
And
bye-bye.
I do believe we have Gene online too. Is that right, Agnes?
Hey, John. Hey, Ruth.
Hey, how
Gene.
Are you?
Okay, a little angry, but okay.
What are you angry about?
Well, what I'm angry about is not what I called, but I'll share that too. I had a transportation meeting I went to today, and before the actual meeting started, we talked about cuts in Medicaid, which appears. The Bush regime has around about Christmas cut about $5 billion from the Medicaid budget, and there'll be another $14 billion cut over the next 5 years. And there'll be corresponding hardship.
Well, and this is something.
Disabilities.
I'm there with you.
Yeah.
Well, and Gene, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because the interesting thing about the Medicaid cuts is that the Medicaid cuts themselves were actually started, I want to say, about 4 years ago, and the message was sent to the states that they needed to start cutting their Medicaid spending immediately. And so the states began to cut back on some of that stuff, and now you're seeing the federal government step up to the plate. I would imagine, Gene, and I hate to say this, but by the end of this 8-year Bush regime reign that we may see Medicaid get cut completely in half from where it was in 2001?
Oh, I expect so. I mean, talking about, the way it works now is if you've already got Medicaid, you can get about, you can make about 300% of the SSI minimum, which is $580 in most states. So you could make up to $1,700 and change dollars a month and still keep your Medicaid if you were on, if you had a disability or you're a senior. They're going to cut that down to $200, which is about $1,000 and something a month, which
is next to nothing.
You know, kind of a pain. And then they're not going to be covering things for service, that kind of thing, which really kind of irritates me. But the reason I called is I got a question. I, as you probably have been listening to Brother Mike do 1984, it's been really interesting to me. And so I decided, what the heck, I'd go buy a copy of Animal Farm because I'd never seen it. I never read it. So I bought
this
copy.
You didn't buy the book, did you, Gene?
What'd you say?
You didn't buy the book, did you?
I bought Animal Farm, yeah.
Oh, no. Now you're on the list, man.
Yeah. And it gets worse. So, you know, I got that, and I got another Orwell book, and I'm reading. I just kind of flipped into the Animal Farm one just to read the author blurb. And, you know, it talks about Orwell, and it's his pen name, and he died of a lung disease, and all that jazz. But you know what his real name was?
What's that?
Eric Blair. Just like Tony.
Hey.
Seriously, it's spelled the same way.
Probably no relation, though.
Are you sure? Because that's what I want to know.
I don't know. I've never met a Blair that I trusted. I just...
Okay.
Maybe that's why he had to change his name, guys.
I don't know. I mean, it's not exactly on the par of June 6th of 06, but, you know, it just weirded me out some. So it was like, I thought I'd call that and, you know, bring that to the UK listeners' attention because I've heard, you know, people say that, you know, the Bushies, they treat 1984 like a user's manual.
I reckon so.
No doubt.
So it was just a little, it was just a little weird. Eric Blair, Tony Bell Blair, what the heck is going on here? So anyway, that's, you know, basically why I called. I, you know, Iran and Iraq and Israel, we're all going to be nuclear bits here in the next year. So.
Oh, that's a cheery outlook there, Gene.
Well, I'm just trying to be realistic.
Yeah, I mean, Gene's Medicaid's getting cut. He didn't give, you know, it's, come on, man. It's like, you know.
All I was going to say, man, this is compassionate conservatism at work.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, interestingly enough, as I was reading, I don't know, John, if it was on our show Saturday night or if it was on Sunday night, you know, but I pointed out that all of the leading right-wing candidates around the world have all went to power recently on a campaign of compassionate conservatism, of a social services conservative platform.
Uh-huh.
In Canada, in Iran, I mean, in all these other places, in Australia, right, John?
Yep. Howard has got to be the biggest BS artist I've seen. Just last Thursday, Howard was actually called in to testify in front of that Australian Wheat Board Commission.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And for the first time, no cameras were allowed.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was,
let's not have any cameras when the truth is being told. I mean,
and it was scheduled right on top of a four-day weekend where
mm-hmm.
two of the usual pressing days in Australia, there are no newspapers.
How convenient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and see, here's the thing, Gene. This investigation about the abuses on the Oil for Food program by the Australian Wheat Board seemed to lead straight to Howard's office, but yet Prime Minister Howard is able to set the terms of the investigation, and the investigating body is not allowed to make any judgments on his administration.
Kind of like
unless Howard says it's okay.
Yeah, like being cross-examined without having to be under or oath, like Kenny and Bush did a while back.
Well, Gene, if you liked that book 1984, I strongly recommend that you go see V for Vendetta.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
but, we're gonna talk about that a little bit after this break. We got one coming up, by the way. And Gene, thank you so much for giving us. Was there anything else you needed?
No, you guys take it easy.
Thanks,
right,
matey.
Thanks
great
for calling in.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Have a great night. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is Head On with Bob Kincaid, sans Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Birch. That's John Fox. If you want to call in, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
A breeze that makes my breathing not so easy.
right, everybody. Welcome back to Head On Radio with Bob. And Bob, you have John Fox and Bruce Birch from Fourth Estate Radio filling and keeping the chair warm for Bob. We're streaming at the White Rose Society, blogging and chatting at the headonradionetwork.com. And Bruce, you still with me on the other side?
I certainly am. You know I'm always over here, man. I'm waiting in the wings.
waiting for the septic to shut up.
No. Dude, V for Vendetta. Let's talk about V for Vendetta, shall we?
I'm so glad you went to go see this film, man, and you came back charged. I did enough blathering about this on the weekend. Tell me how you came out of it, man.
I came out of it, I ripped off my shirt and there was an S on my chest. Does that tell you anything?
Dun, dun, dun! Sorry.
It was pretty fantastic, man. I got there, I ordered the ticket and the people were looking at me like, uh-oh, here comes another one of those guys.
Really?
So no, they really didn't, but I was thinking that. Anyway, so I get the ticket, we go to the movie theater, we sit down, we start watching the movie, and it starts to, like, take shape, and oh my gosh, I just, this movie was amazingly fantastic, and I don't want to give it away to anyone as far as the plot line, but I will say this, the dialogue, I mean, this is not a huge crash 'em up, blow 'em up, special effects extravaganza. This is more of a very heavy dialogue film, but the dialogue is all about freedom and democracy and justice, and the way I described it earlier today was the Phantom of the Opera meets progressive politics.
It's a pretty good summation, I love the idea that the one of the points of the film is that ideas have power.
And you can't kill an idea.
No. And the casting and, like you said, the dialogue, man. What? The writing of it,
this movie, I think what really got to me, and I as I left the movie theater, I was saying to the person that I went there with, which was actually my sister's boyfriend, Christopher, I said, man, this is the kind of movie I could go back and probably watch several more times because things were flashing by the screen, little small stuff that was happening in the background.
Yeah.
That also had meaning and if you were paying well enough attention and not really, and not always watching the main characters, things were coming by that were just, that were blowing my mind. I was like, whoa, this is just... This is way heady. This is one of those films that I believe is destined to probably become a cult classic for sure. I think this will be one of those films that will be, at the Midnight Theater 20 years from now, for sure.
Well,
so,
I have those similar opinions, and it's based on a comic book, And
have you seen the comic book, John?
I do believe that I remember this comic book from a couple of decades ago. I can't say for sure, but I'm, when I first saw the film pop up, I went, oh, I think this is a comic book. And, it's an old DC comic. And I think there was a film version of it once before, a few decades back. But it was rewritten, revamped to be slightly modernized. And the one thing that I swear that probably made me kind of like lose contact with the film for a good 20 seconds was that bit where they, in their newscast, where they show the former United States in Civil War.
Yeah, and the funny thing was that they also showed the stock footage of an anti-Bush rally in Britain with all these Bush placards.
And they line up talking about the fall of America with, there was the Afghan war, the Iraq war, and then there was the before and after Syrian wars.
Yeah.
And what's so scary is that it all seems all too plausible. But I think that anyone who is feeling bogged down by everything that's going on and feels that they've lost the power of one needs to see this film.
Well, I think that we definitely have found that it's first of all, this movie was just absolutely fantastic. Anybody who hasn't seen it, and if you are interested in trying to create a new democracy within the old democracy, this is the movie for you. Do go check it out. It's very fantastic. I'm being told, John, that...
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
I'm being told that I'm trying to find some confirmation of this, but I'm being told by Laturge in the chat room that James Toey, who is the head of the White House Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, has resigned.
Really?
So I'm looking right now to try to find find some confirmation of this. But,
well, this is all with the stuff where Scotty McClellan yesterday was quacking along saying, we brought this guy in, and if you're thinking about leaving, now's the time because this is a transitionary period. Now they're cleaning house because they know they're in trouble.
Yeah, I do have confirmation by the AP. Jim Toey, head of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, resigned to become president of St. Vincent College in Pennsylvania. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan said Toey's departure was not related to any White House shakeup. I'm going to add my own little 3 cents onto the end of that, or any, you know, pedophilia charges. So
right.
I was saying it's not related, folks. I'm saying it's not related. Or, you know, what I should be saying is asking the question, could it be related? Could it be related? That's what Fox News does, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some people say. And on the faith-based initiative thing, before we end up running out on the hour, last night here, there was a documentary from the BBC aired on the battle over intelligent design.
You mean lack of intelligent design?
Yeah. They had the scientists and told the story about how this movement in America has made such ground when it's not science at all. And
people who believe in fairy tales don't care about science.
Well,
John.
Here's the thing. They actually have had a plan. It's not so much to win the debate, but to teach the confrontation over the debate.
Ah.
Okay?
In other words, it's not about the debate, it's about the framing of the debate.
And they actually, in a leaked document from, I think it's the Heritage Foundation, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the leading advocates of this, some of their documents were leaked where they talk about they're trying to force a wedge into the Darwinism debate, and it's like we've said time and time again, it's about taking control of the conversation and not actually letting the dialogue take place, and they're supplanting something that's not science as science.
Well, and that's our job. That's what we're doing here tonight on Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid, sans Bob Kincaid, is we're trying to, again, change the conversation. I'm tired of talking about things using their language, too. And maybe we can talk about that in the next 2 hours of the program. But to me, it's like when I use their terminology, I'm acquiescing and saying that they have framed the debate. Well, we can reframe the debate, and we can change the conversation. We are right up at the top of the hour here, folks. It's about 59 minutes after, or one minute till. If you want to get in on the program, you can call 1-877-443-2366. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
As Walmart wraps up its public relations media conference in Arkansas today, former Walmart worker Greg Pierce says that morale among Walmart workers is very low, and they often talk with each other about the national campaign to improve conditions for Walmart workers. Pierce says in addition to low wages and inadequate health care, Walmart workers often face abrupt changes and reductions in their work hours. He's convinced that a union is the only real hope Walmart workers have to improve their conditions, and he says to make that happen, Walmart workers should stand up and speak out for their rights.
Martin Luther King Jr. said that oppression can only survive through silence. And if I had one more thing to say, I would call for all Walmart workers that have something to say and that want their voice to be heard to go ahead and speak out. You're an American. You have that ability. Use it.
New York City transit workers have voted to approve a contract offering the same terms as one they rejected in January, but it's unclear whether the vote will result in a contract agreement. A judge has hit TWU Local 100 with a $2.5 million fine, and its leader, Roger Toussaint, with a 10-day jail sentence for last year's illegal strike. The fine is likely to be appealed. New York City's Mass Transit Board, meanwhile, will be presented with the union's contract vote at its meeting on April 26th.
Two-thirds of national workplace injuries may be missed by the current surveillance system used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to a study in the April issue of the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the Bureau of Labor Statistics failed to account for 61% of work-related injuries and illness. The study was conducted by Dr. Kenneth D. Rosenman at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Rosenman and his colleagues combined four databases used to identify workplace injuries resulting in more than seven missed workdays over a three-year period in the state of Michigan. Their study found 79,400 injuries and illnesses fitting their criteria, while the Bureau only reported 30,800 in that same time period. In the study, Rosenman suggests factors that may contribute to the BLS missing data. For example, the government system excludes federal workers and the self-employed. The study suggests that if the Bureau switched to a census system, such as the one used to track work-related deaths, it would help improve reporting.
The Boston Marathon this week attracted 500,000 spectators and thousands of runners, including WIN's own Greg Gordon, who finished in 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 seconds. That qualifies him for next year's run, but he says the 26 miles was a tough run psychologically.
I lost the psychological battle because even though my time is fantastic, I finished in the top 10% of everyone. Mentally and psychologically, it was a tremendous struggle for the entire race. My mind drifted and I kept counting the miles and counting every step.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Head-On Radio with Bob Kincaid and Bob Kincaid. I am one of your replacement hosts. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, and Bruce Birch is over on the flip side up in California this week. Brucey?
Yes, I am indeed. This is Bruce Birch, and I am the other co-host of the... You know, this is the cool thing about Bob Kincaid. I just wanted to say this. You know, if Bob takes a break, it takes two people to fill his shoes.
Yeah, it reminds me of... there was an Australian band down here that had probably one of Australia's two greatest guitar players ever. And when he went on to do a solo career, they had to replace him with two guitar players. And I know the drummer from this band, and when asked, you know, what did you think of this guy as a as a guitar player, and he goes, best two damn guitar players I ever heard in my life. And it's kind of the same kind of thing, man, you know. You and I are new at this, and, you know, wow, the phone lines are bloody filling up, man. I think we better get to taking some calls. Agnes, who do we have first? Who's been waiting the longest?
First, hey, I think we got Rick on line one. Let's stick Rick on line one, Agnes. Rick, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I've always been wanting to talk to you guys, but you're always past my bedtime because I take so many drugs.
I'll tell you, that's some honesty, man. That's some honesty.
But I do love
them. Well, I hope that they're good drugs and they help you do good things. Rick,
well, it's like a vitamin. You know,
right
on. D, D, H. Well, anyway.
I hear you.
So, okay, thanks for standing in for Bob tonight. I appreciate that, Bob and Ag.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you doing that.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I was talking to you. Who is this first? Is it John?
Okay. Well, I'm John over here, and Bruce is in California.
That's John. I'm Bruce.
Okay, John. Yeah, I spoke to you about my drain.
Say again?
You would stop by, and you know, stop it since you fixed up my password here on the chat room. But you'd, you know, stop by and unclog my drain and do something like that.
I'm a handyman, but I can't really get to where you are. It's kind of hard.
Well,
talk about a commute.
Yeah, really.
I was thinking that if you left through Afghanistan, you know, it just took that that kind of track there, and then took a left, and then went through Malaysia. Well, never mind. But I was hoping that you...
Where are you?
Where am I?
Yeah.
God damn it, I'm in Florida. Everybody knows where Florida is.
That's what I thought. And it sounded like you were sending me off to somewhere in Asia somewhere.
Well,
I reckon I should just...
to travel the same route Bush does to find bin Laden.
Mate, I'd rather skip off New Zealand, bounce off of Hawaii, and land in California.
Get to Alaska. It's easy. No.
Yes, bin Laden is presently bear hunting in Alaska.
He's a brilliant man. I can't stand it how you make fun of Bush. I mean, who else in the world has ever thought about going through South America to get to Alaska? He's smart. I mean, the guy's got, there's something about him. He's just, I don't know what it is. Hey, look, here's the thing I wanted to talk about tonight, though, honestly.
Okay.
And Mike has been bringing it up on the Mike Malloy show, and I've heard you bring it up, too, on your show, Mr. Burge. And that is, there's a lot of people that are saying that the American people have been duped. They've been duped into supporting these illegal wars or supporting Bush. And I'm here to tell you, my personal opinion is that they have not. Let's trace back where these people come from. Okay? They go back to the Democratic Party when it was known as the Dixiecrat Party. You know, the same party that used to bring out the picnic baskets when they lynched a black man, those people. And then all of a sudden they got drawn into the Republican Party. And we all know about the time when that was, when they remade the Republican Party. And that's sucked this huge vacuum of people out of the Democratic Party. But luckily, at that very moment, all the kids were in the streets and protesting the Vietnam War and everything else, and they filled that void. The problem is now that in the Democratic Party, there is nobody that's ready to step inside and fill that breach. And so we have, pardon me? I was going to say, is what we have.
Yeah, I
Oh, we have a delay, don't we? A European delay. Go ahead, John.
No. Bruce was actually just agreeing with you, so please go on with your comments.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Thank you, Bruce. It's just that what we have is we have this vacuum in the Democratic Party that keeps trying to figure out what's happening, what went wrong. and they don't understand what went wrong is their very selves. Is because they didn't bother to stand for the very principles that their bedrock, their base, was founded on. And that was about unions and about workers' rights and about civil
Absolutely.
Rights and all these kinds mm-hmm. of things. And they got mixed up into all of these crazy, third rail items, which were nothing but causing everybody in America to come to a standstill. Go ahead.
I totally agree with you, Rick. I think what happened was somewhere along the line the Democratic Party allowed the Republican Party to frame the debate. And framing the debate by using issues like these wedge issues, the abortion issue, the gay, the homosexual marriage issue, I mean, you name it, the Christian issue, all of these things were framed by the Republican right, and the Democrats then had to respond instead of saying, no, wait a minute, we're not going to be snookered in by your little smoke and mirrors kinds of arguments here. We're still going to stand for the very same things that we have stood for all these years. Instead, what they did was they allowed themselves to they being the leaders of the party, I believe, allowed themselves to be pulled into nonsensical arguments. I mean, instead of people voting on voting their pocketbook or voting for what's best for them, they're voting on these beliefs.
And that sounds nice. It really does, but that's not exactly what happened. What happened was they all got bribed, they all got into the corporate structure, and they all started caring about themselves instead of the core values of the Democratic Party.
Yes, they did.
How can you deny it? That'd be like, if you deny that, you might as well say Bush is an intelligent man. I mean, seriously.
I do agree with you. I do agree. I guess there's this part of me that doesn't want to be a cynic.
Look at the Bidens. Let's look at the Liebermans. Let's look at the leadership part of this party, the Hillary Clintons and all of those. They are all plugged into this very same machine as the Republicans. Go back. Think about, what you saw that happened in movies. And I wish I could name a couple. There was one that I saw on the Sci-Fi Channel where these people were under the ocean, and they're all like in these little things, and then all of a sudden they pop up, and they're on shore, they're all naked, and something's feeding them and giving them everything. I wish I could remember it. But the point is that they bought into all of that sludge, they got comfortable, they got healthy, and they got fat. And they stopped caring about the Teamsters, and they stopped caring about the auto workers and the teachers' unions. They thought they could make it on this dirty money alone, and they let us all down. And that's why you got people like Biden that are enslaved to the credit card companies that vote you a bankruptcy bill that says you'll be an indentured servant for the rest of your life. And that is what is wrong, and that is how this party has turned. And until we take people like Dennis Kucinich and make him a hero that he deserves to be, and people like him, we're going nowhere. They just took down the black lady. I wish I could remember her name. She changed her hairstyle. She's the cop.
Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah, they just took her down.
That would be.
You're not going to tell me that cop didn't get an envelope full of money for what he did. You're not going to tell me that, or are you going to tell me that? Miss McKinney has got problems that has drove her to be totally insane. She's acting very bizarre. Maybe she has. Maybe she's got one of those things going on that happened to Whitney Houston. But the fact of the matter is they look for these weaknesses. They wait. They're careful. And they take them out. And every time they take them out, they take out one more voice. Do you think the 30-somethings on the Congress floor are going to survive if we don't back them, if we don't protect them? The ones that go out there every day on the Congress floor, the 30-somethings, and keep saying, this is what we got to do. Have you seen them? They're beautiful.
I'll tell you.
People. They're beautiful people. And they have America at heart. But if we don't take care of and back them, if we don't celebrate people like Dennis Kucinich, and dare I say Howard Dean, because I hate it.
Absolutely.
I hated that son of a gun. He was my governor up in Vermont, and he was.
Yeah.
Believe me, he created two types of people in Vermont: those that were very rich, and everybody was very poor and on probation or doing time.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, he was a terrible governor. Just look up what he did, He was a terrible governor in the 80s and early 90s. But he's grown a lot. I think he cares somewhat. But so I'll give him a pass. But people like Dennis Kucinich are the real deal. That is the real Republicans. Those are the people we got to celebrate. We have to back them, just like the 30-something
Democrats
in Congress. Hello? I have a very hard time hearing you, so if I'm stepping on you, I'm very sorry. Someone else?
No, that's fine. Well, no. I thought you had said he's the kind of Republican that we need, and I was going to say Democrat.
Let me shoot myself. Hold on a second. Yeah.
No. Don't do that.
No. We want you to call in again, man. We don't want you groaning.
No, you're right. I did that. He's the kind of Democrat we do need. He is the real deal. He's a liberal Democrat, just like Paul Wellstone. He's in that, and I think he's stronger than Wellstone was because he's so. On the streets, his shirt sleeves are rolled up. I mean, I fought for Kucinich. I backed him. I couldn't get anybody to go with me on this. I couldn't get any of the Democrats. Nobody. I went to Democratic Underground. I couldn't get anybody to stand with me with Dennis Kucinich. So they said, for the good of the nation, vote for doofus. So I did.
Yeah.
And I did, and my whole family did. And what did we get? Nothing. We got a dimwit. Now he should have been president because we all know they stole the election in 2004, too. That's a given. But he didn't fight. He wouldn't do nothing. I mean, John Kerry is like some kind of moron that fell off a turnip truck and is happy to brag, hey, I just fell off a turnip truck. You know, he's a strange individual. But when your wife is a billionaire, I guess you don't care, right? Win some, lose some, and that's what you're going to get with Hillary. If we vote for Hillary Clinton, we're going to lose. And I'll tell you why. I'm an independent now. I changed to an independent because I'm sorry if I'm stepping on somebody because I can barely hear you.
Well, what I was going to say to you is that it's very interesting to hear that the man wasn't a great governor, but I do have a lot of support for what he's doing as far as the Democratic leadership.
You got to study what he did. And
I will. And this is the first time that I've ever heard this about Howard Dean. To tell you the truth,
I was in,
but
I was there.
No. That's fine. Howard was down here last year, and I spoke with him directly, and I think he has, the right idea about helping the Democrats get back into power. The whole idea of going for local seats and things like that. And I think, but setting aside maybe his bad history as a governor, like you said, maybe he has developed and moved. Gotten himself more together along the Democratic lines, because what I am hearing from him seems to be very effective, and he's not backing down. But we've got a whole bunch of calls on hold at the moment, mate, so I'm going to have to cut
this together. Let me tie
this. Okay.
We have to support the ones that care about us, and we cannot put people like Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Lieberman back in office. Now, granted, Bob hates me when I say this, and so does Wayne, the union guy. But the fact of the matter is, unless we support those that really care about us, that really care about the Democratic Party, we're not going to get anywhere. We're fueling the fire of our own destruction. We are loading the logs to burn us alive.
I agree with you, mate. I agree with you, and I really, really thank you for ringing in. And I hope that you could hear us a little bit better there towards the end. I'm gonna have to cut you off here because we've got four lines on hold.
Thank you so much. Agnes, you rock. Hello, everybody in the chat room. You're the best people on this planet. Thank you.
Right on,
you guys.
Right on, Rick. Thanks for ringing in. And I do believe on the line we have the one, the only, the master, Mr. Bob Kincaid. You're still there, buddy.
I always wondered what that thing sounded like when you got the beep coming onto the air.
It does like this, Bob. It goes.
Yeah. Now I know.
How you doing, man? I don't know. How's it going? You tell us how's it going, okay? This is your show, so, you know.
It feels great here.
Well, you know, there's not going to be a pay cut, okay?
I heard that, Bob.
Nothing from nothing still leaves nothing.
You're up on your math skills.
I can subtract zero from zero.
I'm going half crazy to get back on the air, but my God, I'm so glad you guys were able to save me and save Agnes and save everybody else from one more night of the best of Bob Kincaid, you know, that ugly little euphemism for rerun.
So you're out in Alabama at the moment, aren't you?
I'm in the hit recording capital of the world.
Right on. What's the weather like out there these days?
Spring was canceled for lack of interest down here, and we just went straight to summer.
That sounds like Australia.
It's
our spring and autumn last about 12 hours.
It was 90 degrees here this afternoon.
Whoa!
And that's you know, that's North Alabama. We're not talking about L.A., Lower Alabama or anything. Yeah. This is unseemly, unseasonable weather, but thank God it's not a function of global warming, because we all know that doesn't exist.
Well, actually, it was canceled due to lack of belief, I think.
Yeah, right. There's that hateful little word again.
Belief.
But yeah, I couldn't resist just calling in for a minute and thanking you guys for covering. I really do appreciate it. And as you know, John, we spent a better part of the afternoon getting the head-on remote gig set up. So hopefully we'll be able to cook a little bit tomorrow night.
Yeah. We're looking
with gas or with electricity.
Oh, we'll be cooking with gas.
All right, that's right, baby.
Better than pedal power.
Yes. Things going well out on the left coast there, Bruce.
Things are going fantastically well out here on the left coast, Bob. I was just telling John when I first came onto the program. We went over the Donner Pass yesterday down into Lake Tahoe, and it snowed 3 feet Sunday night up there.
Oh yeah.
So it was, and I took a bunch of pictures. And at some point, I'll probably later on this evening, I'll try to get those uploaded and get a link to them. But it's been a really amazing trip out here, and you know, I'm going to be down in L.A. later on in the week, Thursday, and going to be meeting up with some Head-On Radio Network listeners toward the end of the week. How about that?
Cool. Very cool.
So, but Bob, how's your? I know the people in the listening audience, man, are like wanting to know, and I wonder if there's any way that you can let us know. How's your dad doing?
Better.
Good. Fantastic.
We went to the doctor yesterday, and looks like things are on the mend.
That's fantastic, man.
Good. Very, very good. And all our best to your dad, mate.
Well, thank you. I will pass that along, and he'll appreciate that. Speaking of photographs, Bruce, I don't know. I'm hoping to wing around the shoals a little bit here and take a few photographs in my own right and maybe upload them to you, assuming that I get to that beloved broadband connection. It was very nice to work on the studio setup at the public library, but lesson one is you cannot do this kind of thing on a wireless connection with everybody else taking time on the network.
That's no. Nope.
It's gorgeous down here, and you know, anybody who has ever gone home to where they're from knows that there's kind of a special connection. And
sure,
while I love the mountains there with all my heart, there's a whole Thomas Wolfe thing that goes on when you cross onto the dirt that is the dirt you grew up on.
Absolutely,
no doubt. And you know, man, we just keep sending all the best your way. We know it's kind of a difficult time for you, but you know, the whole family's, you know, pulling for your dad and trying to support you as much as we can.
Well, I appreciate it. We really do. And like I said, I'm anxious to get back to things, but if things don't work out, you guys may be pulling another night, if that's okay.
Hey, Bob, we feel honored that you would even request us to do this, man. You know, that you would entrust your listeners to us is pretty big deal to me anyway. I think it's really cool.
Absolutely.
So, well, look, you guys are as much part of the network as I am.
So.
And, you know, you could... Either one of you could easily carry 5 nights a week, and you know it. And everybody else does, too.
Was that a hint?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, nudge as good as a wink to a blonde man. Sign him all.
Not yet, guys. Damn.
Is CB going off in the chat room now, Bruce? Going, that's it. She was poking me.
I got to admit, I'm completely out of the loop. I have no idea what's going on in the world. I'm clueless. I am a man without an internet.
Oh my gosh, you must be out of your mind.
All I've had was CNN, and today, I mean, it's one of the. If I was there tonight, I would absolutely be losing my mind simply because CNN has been nothing but 100 years ago today. San Francisco shook the ground.
You're kidding.
Well, I will tell you this, Bob. Jim Towey, who is, did you hear? Have you been listening to the program at all tonight?
I haven't gotten to.
Okay, well, Jim Towey, who is the head of the White House Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, did step down today.
Is that another case of did he jump or was he pushed with the new, who's the new capo, Josh Bolton?
It's quite possible. Did he jump or was he pushed or was there a child involved? We're not sure yet, Bob. We're not going to speculate on whether there might have been illegal activities, okay? don't say it, John. Don't say it, Bob. I mean, you know, the illegal activities could have happened, but don't say it, Bob.
No, not me.
I'd never do that.
Are we doing good?
Well, guys, you've got folks on hold, and I hate for people to sit on hold when they've got good things to say. This is conversation radio, after all.
Right on, man. All the best to your dad and your whole family. And if you're not on air tomorrow, we'll be covering bases for you for sure.
All right, sounds great. You guys take care. Right. Thanks.
You take
again.
Care.
Doing
right,
great
you
work.
Too.
Hey, everybody. Later, guys.
The one, the only, Mr. Bob Kincaid.
Thank
man,
you so much, Bob.
This is really an honor, man. I can't even tell you what to be doing this during the week and in about as prime time a slot as you can ask for. But if I'm not mistaken, we had our good friend Mr. Peter Godbold from Tallahassee on the line. Is that right?
Hello, Mr. Peter.
No. This is George W. Bush. I have an Easter message, and God spoke to me through Walmart, and Remy was on the Limbaugh show today, and I'm a uniter, not a divider, so I'm going to deliver my Easter message on Bob's show, and I'm so glad that you two are there to let me do that.
What? Well, we're definitely here for you, Mr. President. Why would you choose Mr. Kincaid's show?
Well, as the liberal shows go, you bet as liberal as they get, and I'm a uniter, not a divider, and so I'm going to.
Well, you definitely have the opposition united against you. There's no doubt. Anyway, Mr. President, what's your Easter message for us tonight?
Well, God spoke to me through Walmart. This Easter,
said that already.
God told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits. You know, the ones with the resurrection egg, and we decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And you know, I found the resurrection egg. And
why not at Camp Goliath?
God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide. And,
you get to decide?
What do you get to decide?
I do get to decide.
What do you get to decide?
Well, on Friday I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. There's people's reputations at stake, and he's doing a fine job, and I get to decide that, and I strongly support him. He's a strong man.
You do? How heavy is he?
He's a big, strong man. Did I mention he was big?
I don't know if I want to know exactly how to mean that there, Mr. President, but...
Remy got me them pictures from Abdul Gharabi. my picture.
Abdullah, was that Paula Abdul Ghraib?
Well, yes, and my pictures didn't have that little blurry mark in the good parts. And you know, some of them men is uncircumcised.
Well, they're going to hell then, aren't they, Mr. President?
I've had hours of pleasure from them pictures. And you know, he's doing a fine job. And I listen to all the voices in my head now, but mine is the decision voice. God told me. And Romy is doing a fine job, and he's transforming the military. And he's fighting the war on terror, and he's helping us. And I got strong confidence in Rumsfeld. And I hear the voices, and I read the front page. And I know the speculations, but I'm the decider.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Mr. President, those voices are actually in your head.
Well, it's the Holy Quadraphonic.
Oh, it's the Holy... Is that a quadraphonic stereo? The Holy Quadraphonic? Is it like a Sony? What kind of quadraphonic... Mr. President, this is...
It's holy, and I listen to all the voices, but I'm the decider. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider, and I get to decide. And so this is my Easter message. I had to interrupt my Easter egg hunt at Camp David to stand up for Donald Rumsfeld because he's a big, strong. Did I mention he was big?
You did. You didn't say where he was big, though.
And, I don't want to know. Now here's my question, Mr. Resident. How is Rummy doing such a good job? What is he doing such a good job at?
Well, he's helping us fight the war on terror and keeping them evil little brown bastards where they belong. You know, out of the airplanes and out of the public schools and out of the mini markets. We got to keep it that way. You know,
well, what about the other 11, Mr. Resnick, how about the other 11 million little brown people that cross the border illegally? How come you like those so much?
Well, they's accessories. As long as it's helping Walmart, you know, God moved through Walmart to give me this message. And they are building these Walmarts, and next year there will be thousands more Walmarts to sell to Resurrection Street.
Mr. Resnick,
decide. Yeah, I do.
Well, now it sounds like you're making a lot of decisions, Mr. Resnick. I'd like to know exactly how do you go about making a decision? Can you let us know exactly what that process is?
Well, the Lord just speaks to me. He mostly speaks to me after my second jack. Sometimes she'll speak to me at the.
So the Lord likes a good drink then.
Well, you know, stereos always sound better when they're quadraphonic, and they even sound better than that after a few jacks. So.
Okay.
So at home, do you have Holy 5.1 surround?
No, the 0.1 is the devil. We're strictly quad.
Oh my.
We don't do no 0.1. And so Rumsfeld, he's moving us into the 21st century from conventional warfare into asymmetrical warfare. You know, I learned that word today. It's asymmetrical. Asymmetrical.
You learned it, but what does it mean?
You can measure it, but it's kind of. I'm praying about it.
You're praying about it?
Yeah, I'm praying about it. I get to decide, though. I'll get to decide, but I'm praying.
Did you, or were you, Mr. Resnick, I do have another question about the deciding thing. So after you've had your second jack, the Lord speaks to you and you're able to make a decision then. Well, what if you don't have any jack available? What do you do then?
I pull out them Abu Ghraib pictures. And mine don't have the blurry spots over the good places. And the Abdul Ghraib pictures get me through the times the jack will not.
Abdul Ghraib?
Yeah.
This is really...
The prison where that little dyke woman went crazy. What was that?
Now, Mr. Resident, I got a question for you, Mr. Resident. I've been very curious to, as, you know, leading on to when you don't have Jack, which for brains you don't have Jack...
Abdul Ghraib, preacher.
I was wondering, are your pharmaceutical buddies cooking you up a good cocktail?
They got me on Prozac Mountain. It's like Brokeback Mountain, but not quite as gay. And the hills are alive with the sound of Prozac.
Mr. President, I got to tell you, you got a pretty good singing voice there. Have you ever tried out for, let's say, Guys and Dolls, perhaps, or, The Wizard of Oz?
Laura killed her last boyfriend that sang, so I try not to sing too much. She'll run over you in a heartbeat. See, that woman's head on wheels. But I've been praying about it.
Well, I did want to ask you, there's this one question that has always nagged me, Mr. Resnick, and that is, why were you on the cheerleading team in college instead of like doing something else? Why did you choose the cheerleading squad?
Oh, well, that's simple. Did I mention there were some big, strong men on that football team? Did I mention they were big?
How big were they, Mr. Resnick?
They were big. And it was holy, and I cheered them on. I just like I'm cheering on the resurrection. And I'm cheering on the Armageddon. And I'm using our Armageddon underarm deodorant now. It'll take the heat. Armageddon.
Okay, I just got that. That was pretty good, Mr. Resnick. I got to hand that to you. You're a uniter, not a divider. And I got to tell you, sir.
Not a divider. And I didn't anybody to get the wrong idea about Rummy being on Rush's show tonight. I'm showing equal time to the people that is not as informed as us. And y'all are
Now was this interview that painless? Did we ask you anything that you couldn't answer?
No.
Well, wait a minute. What's tribal sovereignty?
I think that's a new disco hit. I believe they're playing it in the gay bars in D.C.
The tribal sovereignty?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's 132 beats per minute. I do.
that's pretty beady. Well, Mr. Resnick, thank you for calling in to head on with Bob Kincaid. Bob's not here tonight, and I know that he's going to really miss having having the opportunity to talk with you. But you will call back again, right?
At some point, I will call back, but you can count on a regular Easter message, I'll decide when I call. I'll decide.
Well, you're the decider.
I'm the decider. I am. They told me that. Yes, they said I could decide.
They said you could decide. When are we going into Iran, Mr. Resnick?
To take more pictures.
No. When is the invasion? The military invasion using guns and bullets.
I get that confused with Iraq. And that whole Middle East is kind of a puzzle to me. All them countries that start with an I.
Iowa
handling it. Rummy is doing a heck of a job, and Rummy knows.
Rummy knows.
Yes.
Rummy knows.
Yes, he knows.
How intimate are you with this guy?
He's a big, strong man.
Well, Mr. Resnick, we really, really appreciate you calling in, but we've run way past our break, and we need to take one. So. We look forward to you ringing in next time you have a message from an Easter egg.
No problem.
Thank you, Mr. Resnick. We really appreciate your call.
Yes, you have a good evening.
All right. I do believe we're heading off to a break here, folks. And when we come back, we're going to have some more phone calls. Go straight back to the lines. I do believe we have Bob from North Dakota waiting on the line. So this is John Fox with Bruce Birch. Filling in for Bob Kincaid on Head On Radio, and we'll be back straight after this break.
Thank you. Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle
me. It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chuckney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not the same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas
and Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming.
Bob Kincaid, Clifton's Bob Kincaid, filling in for you are John Fox and Bruce Birch from Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce, that was a pretty wild call from the resident.
Well, yes. The president every now and then gets away from the Secret Service and does little funky stuff like that. I think he does that every now and then. He'll go ride his bike and run into people. And when he runs into you, that guy, he really runs into you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm just wondering if his staff are sitting there trying to find him, running around with a bottle of meds going, "Oh, no!"
He's off the medication. I mean, he's off the reservation.
And how did he get an open phone line that we didn't allow him to have?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I think that reminds me a lot of the movie I saw last night. But I'm not going to give away any of the storylines. Just
man, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have to be, you know, hopefully enough of our listeners will have seen the film so that we can discuss it more detail. Because it's just all too much fun. And as soon as that
Vendetta, you got to go see it.
And as soon as
I understand,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, I understand that we do still have a caller waiting on the line, do we not?
That's right. We have Bob from North Dakota, do we not? Bob, you there?
Of course you'd want to speak to me.
How you going, matey?
You want truth?
Absolutely.
We love truth.
Games are not the end game, okay? Games
You're
are not
right.
The end game. You guys are great. I love you. Oh, God, I love you. I love Bruce. I talked to you today, right? And we got ice storm up here right now. My neighbors are out of power. They got no electricity. They're tucking their children into blankets, hoping that tomorrow will come on. Yeah? And everybody's having a good time. It's kind of like Katrina up here right now. Okay? You guys...
How many... Is this an ice storm, like a freezing rain kind of storm?
Hey, or you remember 98? Nobody remembered 98. Nobody remembers 1998.
Bill, that was the last really bad blizzard, right?
God, I love you boys. Okay? But listen, okay?
Yes, sir, I'm listening.
1998, we had an ice storm up here that took it out. Took out power to thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Right? Nobody ever talked about it. But guess what? William Jefferson Clinton came to the city of Grand Forks, North Dakota. Do you remember that? Of course not. You don't remember when William Jefferson Clinton came here, do you? Are you gone?
No. We're here. I kind of remember.
Clicks on the line, and I figure it's Agent Fred listening in. Listen, William Jefferson. Hey, don't laugh. Hey, don't laugh. Please, it was serious up here.
Oh, I'm not laughing at that. I was laughing at the fact that you thought the clicks meant that someone was listening in on us.
Oh, yeah.
But
of course they are. Absolutely, they are. Hey, goodness gracious, I hope they are because I have called them out so many times. And how many times have they come to see Gunny Bob? Not once. Oh. And that's for the guys out there on the internet, that, you know, what has been taken away from me for the last couple of hours. And we have power lines snapped. We got poles down.
Hey, I'm from North Dakota. We know all about ice storms, my friend, or North Carolina, excuse me. We know all about ice storms down there, man. We had one a couple of years ago that had 1 million people out of power in our state. So
mm-hmm.
I can totally relate to that, man.
Yeah, well, hey, we ain't got a million people in this state, but we got a bunch of dead-brained Republicans in this state, a lot of them. And, hey, I try to, you know, educate, you know?
Sure. As we all do.
Excuse me, bro.
Now here's I got a question for you, Bob, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You were leading into trying to mention William Jefferson Clinton in 98. Were you trying to say that when this happened in 98, Clinton showed up and now no one's showing up?
He not only came out.
Is that what you're trying to tell me?
He not only came out to the city of Grand Forks, but he put his arm around our mayor of Grand Forks and told her that that city would be rebuilt. And guess what?
It was
rebuilt. It was burnt. The core of the city was burnt to the ground. I mean, it was destroyed by the fire and ice, right?
Right.
And guess what? That poor man. I really want this nation and every nation to know that William Jefferson Clinton is not loved only in Italy, only in France, only in the rest of the world. He's loved in North Dakota, in Grand Forks, because he came out and he brought with him something. It's called FEMA, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And they rebuilt Grand Forks, North Dakota, better than it was before the storm. And what has this, excuse me, gentlemen, I'm going to use euphemisms. I'm going to say this monkey in the White House done for. New Orleans, huh? What has he done for New Orleans, Louisiana? Nothing.
He's done
well.
I'll
tell you what. Exactly. Well, he has done one thing. He's used it as a way to help his corporate buddies make more money.
They're still picking bodies out of attics. They're still digging up corpses of dead people from Katrina. And how long has that been, boys? Boys, how long has that been?
6 months.
Six?
6 months.
Well, we're
eight
just
months,
getting ready to
months.
Start another one, aren't we? Another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we are.
Another one of those hurricane seasons. And how many people in Mississippi, huh? How many people have died? We don't even know the number of Americans killed on American soil. We don't know how many Americans have been killed right here in the U.S. of A. Because these punks, these Republicans, will not tell us how many of our own brothers and our own sisters have died here in this country, let alone Iraq or Iran. So don't tell me about war or hate or killing, because these people are professional at hate and war and killing, and they are not living beings. They are dead, dead, dead in their hearts. Bruce, I love
yes,
you.
Sir.
And John, you are a good man down there in Australia. Stay there, because there's a bunch of others down there. Don't laugh. I love your chuckle. You are totally for me. I know that. But listen to me, America. Listen to me, Bruce. Listen to me, John. Listen to me, all you Americans out there. These ugly, ugly people have nothing, nothing in common with you. All they have in common with anything is that they want power. And you know how you get power, boys? Do you
take
know
it.
How to get power?
You utilize the power you have and you
no.
take it.
Wrong. You take
okay.
power. You don't utilize the power you have. You take it from them. You get in their face every day, everywhere, and you never stop. You keep doing it until they are as just gone as we have been for a long, long time. Because we've been happy on JFK and RLK and MLK and all of the good men of the past. Well, it ain't past anymore, boys. It's here and it's in your face. And I'm sorry, and it's my fault because, and I feel guilty. I really do. I feel guilty because I
what?
Did not understand. And that's why I typed into the net today.
You know, you bring up the fact that there's another hurricane season coming upon us again, not too far around the corner. There's been very little work done where the damage happened with Katrina. As far as I know, the levees have
John,
yet to be rebuilt or
John,
anything. What's going to happen this time?
John, answer me this. Where
yes?
are you at? No, where are you personally sitting right now?
Well, I'm standing, but I am just north
right.
of the yeah, Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Stand when you talk.
Ah,
yes.
Where
are you at? Where on this planet? Where are you situated?
I am situated in Sydney, Australia.
Good.
Just about 10 miles north of the Sydney.
Sydney's a beautiful city. I've been there. I've seen it. I chased some mossy babes around, had some fun back in the day. Back in the day, okay? But I'm saying to you, you're in another place. But where are the people in the line of the storm at? Do you know? No, you see it on a weather map, or you hear it on the news, or Fox News tells you,
if another hurricane...
You know, it doesn't show the truth. Hey, Bruce, I'm going to go, but listen. listen to me, people. This is real. It's not a game. Either you get in the fight or you just lay down and die, because they'll come and get you. And they will come and get you. Because I know the boys.
It might take them 8 months, but they will come pick up your body, right?
No. They're not going to pick up your body. They'll let you rot in a closet until you turn into a skeleton. And then maybe 10,000 years from now, somebody will dig you up. I'm saying this. If you don't get in this fight, I mean this fight. This is a fight for democracy. This is a fight for truth. Rick, down in Panama. Panama Rick, you're drugged up and you're out of your doggone mind. I almost said GD mind, but I said out of your doggone mind.
Be nice, Bob.
What was that? I think that was God, Bob.
That was God. Hey,
Bob chimes in.
And she's a female.
Hey Bob.
Who?
She is. Bob, I have
God
a question.
Is talking to me? I've never
she was,
heard God's voice. I've been waiting for her to call me.
Hey, Bob, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you seen V for Vendetta yet, the movie?
No. I have ordered it. If it ever comes on in a DVD, I'll get it here. They will not show it anywhere in this Nazi state of North Dakota. Hey, I'm surrounded by Nazis. They're scared to death of me because I'm the only SOB on the planet that will face them. I mean, this state is, hey, we got, what's his name? Ed. Yeah, big fat Eddie.
Oh, Ed Schultz.
You mean small
Eddie? Fargo. Fargo, North Dakota. I've been there. That is a fascist state run. And that little fascist, God, I'd like to meet him out here in a prairie. I'd like to meet the little SOB right here on my land so I could rip his guts out just far enough to use it as coyote bait and feed him to the coyotes. Because we got them, boy. They'll eat your cats. They'll eat your dogs. They'll eat anything that moves. And I'm sick to death. I really am. Of coyote bait. And that's what Eddie Schultz, that little neo-Nazi fascist, I just about blew your mind, John, because I was saying the word, the one you want me to say. But
Bob, make sure.
I'm sorry.
As I say, Bob, make sure you check out smalleddie.com.
Small Eddie. Punk boy, right?
Yeah, smalleddie.com. Go check it out.
Okay. Well, hey, boys. Amen. I really do. But I want some
fight. Love you too, Bob.
Doggone party. I want some fight.
We're fighting, buddy.
You might get one yet.
I love it. I love it when my boys say I'm ready to fight. Hey, Johnny. I love you, boy. And, Bruce, love you.
Yes, sir.
Today. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
We was on that, chat room. And I keep telling these boys, these clickers on the line, come get me if you got the, you know, cojones.
Gotta go, Bob.
Okay. See you, kid.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Sorry, I hope I didn't mess up your night.
Love you.
Love you, not at all.
Oh, God, we love you, too. Hey, we're
here.
Man. And we'll
have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Alrighty, this is Bruce standing, and John Fox standing in. Bob Kincaid, Head on Radio with Bob Kincaid. And we'll be right back with the radio program.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
As Walmart wraps up its public relations media conference in Arkansas today, former Walmart worker Greg Pierce says that morale among Walmart workers is very low, and they often talk with each other about the national campaign to improve conditions for Walmart workers. Pierce says in addition to low wages and inadequate health care, Walmart workers often face abrupt changes and reductions in their work hours. He's convinced that a union is the only real hope Walmart workers have to improve their conditions, and he says to make that happen, Walmart workers should stand up and speak out for their rights.
Martin Luther King Jr. said that oppression can only survive through silence. And if I had one more thing to say, I would call for all Walmart workers that have something to say and that want their voice to be heard to go ahead and speak out. You're an American. You have that ability. Use it.
New York City transit workers have voted to approve a contract offering the same terms as one they rejected in January, but it's unclear whether the vote will result in a contract agreement. A judge has hit TWU Local 100 with a $2.5 million fine, and its leader, Roger Toussaint, with a 10-day jail sentence for last year's illegal strike. The fine is likely to be appealed. New York City's Mass Transit Board, meanwhile, will be presented with the union's contract vote at its meeting on April 26th.
Two-thirds of national workplace injuries may be missed by the current surveillance system used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to a study in the April issue of the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the Bureau of Labor Statistics failed to account for 61% of work-related injuries and illness. The study was conducted by Dr. Kenneth D. Rosenman at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Rosenman and his colleagues combined four databases used to identify workplace injuries resulting in more than seven missed workdays over a three-year period in the state of Michigan. Their study found 79,400 injuries and illnesses fitting their criteria, while the Bureau only reported 30,800 in that same time period. In the study, Rosenman suggests factors that may contribute to the BLS missing data. For example, the government system excludes federal workers and the self-employed. The study suggests that if the Bureau switched to a census system, such as the one used to track work-related deaths, it would help improve reporting.
The Boston Marathon this week attracted 500,000 spectators and thousands of runners, including WIN's own Greg Gordon, who finished in 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 seconds. That qualifies him for next year's run, but he says the 26 miles was a tough run psychologically.
I lost the psychological battle because even though my time is fantastic, I finished in the top 10% of everyone. Mentally and psychologically, it was a tremendous struggle for the entire race. My mind drifted and I kept counting the miles and counting every step.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, actually, no. It's not Buck. We got John and Bruce from Fourth State Radio here filling in for the one and only Bob from Hayes. We're talking family. So, Bruce.
Indeed, he is.
Yes, sir.
I'm here.
What a ball has this been so far? I swear this has been the fastest 2 hours of radio I've ever done so far, man.
Well, you know something. It's not every day that we have Gunny Bob and the President on the show at the same in the same hour. I mean, you know, it's freaky.
It's the resident. Remember?
I'm sorry. We should have. You know what we could have done? We should have patched the resident in with Bob and let Bob have at him.
Oh, mate, that would that. that could have been just completely out of control. But
that's kind of a deep thought, isn't it? I'm sorry. But it is our last hour here on Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. Bob is not here today, but we do appreciate all of you who have tuned in to hear a live radio program tonight. And if all goes well, he'll be back tomorrow night. If not, well, you may get a double dose of us. So, you know, either way, it's going to be entertainment, top-notch entertainment from the Head On Radio Network. What's on your agenda there, John?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm gonna come back a little bit to before you got to join us today. You know, I was mentioning Anthony's op-ed piece in The Australian. Now, I don't know if you caught in the news. It was last night here about the suicide bombing in Israel, the most recent one, first one in a while. And again, I watched the coverage, and this goes straight back to, you know, the promo was played last hour with the Robert Fisk interview, where he talks about the phrasing and the context of the argument. And I watched. Gail and I were like screaming at the newscast last night, and it was even one of the better newscasts that we have down here. And again, it was just like Fisk talks about. It's the framing of the discussion. Right, you have Hamas has been democratically elected to power in Palestine, but yet all the other nations are cutting off their funding, everything else. And because it's not the leadership that the rest of the so-called world wanted, they're not honoring the fact that they were actually elected by their people. Hamas has come out to say that they will recognize Israel to the original boundaries from what it was 68. Is my brain right? But the Israelis don't like that because that doesn't include the occupied territories. So Gail and I were wondering two things. First of all, you know, two? Well, two major things.
Two major things.
You have this young teenage boy who goes and blows himself up in Tel Aviv, right? Now, Hamas has actually come out to say that they will recognize Israel, but not the way Israel wants to be recognized. So one has to wonder, there has not been really much activity from Hamas or the Palestinians at all when it comes to bombings as of recent. But then when the rest of the world goes and puts a financial stranglehold on the nation because we don't like the leaders that they elected, I am, one, not surprised that a young Palestinian would come to the end of his rope and do something desperate. But the other thing that we're wondering, could Mossad have actually set this up?
Ooh. Well, I mean, that's a good question, man.
You know, you have Hamas trying very hard to hold a legitimate line. Why would they do this now?
I can't answer that. I'm not, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, John. You are much more involved and more aware of what's going on with regard to that than I am at this point.
Well, see,
I'm paying more attention at this point to what's going on in Iran, but that's
right.
Just,
well, but see, this all plays too, right? This is all part of the same argument.
I think, you know, it is. I think it's all connected.
And I know, and like we talk about, the keeping context on all this is probably the hardest part when you want to be truthful, because it's very easy for someone to put a division in the conversation and say, well, you can't talk about this because you're talking about this other thing. And, you know, my partner Gail was living in Palestine when the last Intifada broke out. And she had to leave because it was getting very, very scary. And the one thing that she has said to me over and over, how wonderful the Palestinian people are as a people. They are very welcoming to foreigners. She worked, you know, she worked in a cafe or some such thing. You know, she said it was a very, very different thing when you go over the border to Israel, and it was a much tighter kind of a thing. And
there's kind of like tolerance in one direction and intolerance from the other direction. But yet the media, the way the context must be set up, it must be worded that it's the other way around. And I do not understand how you can have one nation being, you have a theocracy being backed by the so-called largest democracy on the planet, and you have the opposing side, the Palestinians, being robbed of aid, having trade deals cut off, and basically being...
Do you have any idea how much aid, John? You want to hear the numbers? I'll give you the numbers if you want to know.
Please.
$1 billion that's been held back from them.
And you think that this is in a country that relies on this kind of aid because they don't have full status in the world? I mean, I really truly believe this. You know, they're stuck to this aid because they're not allowed to have legitimacy. And so you cut off this aid, you're asking for trouble.
Okay, I mean, here's the question that I have. Here's the question that I have. Let's, and maybe we can look at this also. You know, I fully appreciate exactly what you're talking about, but I think we can also look at this in another way.
Okay.
Why is it that the United States is completely non-supportive of a government that was elected democratically?
Because it's not the government that they wanted. Just like what's happening in Iraq.
Isn't that, and I want people to understand that the Hamas party was elected in Palestine completely through a democratic process, with poll observers and the whole nine yards, and yet because they were elected, we will not honor their government because we call them terrorists.
Well, the thing to remember is that Hamas, while Arafat and the PLO were doing whatever it was that they were doing towards the end, Hamas was actually getting food, aid, and shelter to the poorest of the Palestinians. And so by actually pushing social services and actually doing something concrete for the people, that's why they got elected in. They were elected because they had shown results for their people. You know? And I just, to me, it's another opposite world thing to almost the nth degree. Now I see our phone lines are lining up, and we have one of our best callers, CB, on line two. You there, CB?
Hey guys, are you there?
Hey darling, how are you? Oh yeah,
top of the evening to you, CB. How are you doing tonight, huh?
I'm doing okay. I was listening. I was laughing with Peter. I was having a great time.
That was George. That's not Peter. That was George.
Oh. Oh, yeah, oh, right. Yeah, George. Peter George. Anyway, and then you started back in on the Israel thing, and I thought I would try and jump in there. It wasn't Hamas that did the suicide bombing. Another group claimed responsibility for it, but they're blaming Hamas anyway.
Yes, and in the newscast that was here last night, they showed one of the members, a spokesman for Hamas, having actually said he said something to the effect that he understood how this happened, but then the reporter said that he was supporting the action, which that's not what he said. He said with what's going on, he's not surprised that some young person did something desperate. But yet, the reporter's line was, this was sanctioned by Hamas.
Well, it really is getting ridiculous.
Sanctioned, huh? Sanctioned.
It's really getting ridiculous.
The whole thing's... It is. And I just constantly see it as that we're not having the discussion.
And we're not having it because it's politically incorrect to go against Israel about anything. And they have been acting like perfect pigs for a really long time. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm really mad at Israel. And we should be able to talk about that without getting called names.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. And this is, you know, this mate of mine, this author, Anthony, You know, he is a Jew, and he looks at these things, I believe, properly, and he gets roasted for it.
Yeah. Oh, I had the audacity to stick up for Palestine in one of, Dershowitz's blog posts. And I and he let like 400 really rabid anti-Dershowitz people calling him all kinds of god-awful names, you know, comment on that post. But stick up for Palestine, you don't get your comment on the post. It's that bad.
Dershowitz was one of the first people to come back and lash out at Anthony yesterday.
Well, he's a maniac Zionist, you know. I don't care how good of an attorney he is. He's just maniacal about Zionism.
And sometimes I wonder, like, this whole Zionism thing, do you think that and I can't say this average Israeli, because I'm not actually sure that they support this hard line all the time.
Right.
But, I mean, could this be an inverse thing to the Holocaust in some way, some overprotectionist thing that we don't understand?
Well, it's turning into, I'm not kidding, I'm awfully darn colorful, but I'm telling people now, in my opinion, Israel is about the best spawn of Hitler you could possibly hope for. Because they're using his kind of tactics left and right, and they seem to think that it's their right. Of all the populations on the entire planet, you'd think that one would have it straight. But they sure don't.
Yeah. Now, I think the whole idea has lost the plot when originally it was to, you know, give these people a home when they had been murdered. And now, for some reason, they think that they can murder to expand their home.
Right.
Which just doesn't play. I'm sorry. You know, the Palestinians have a right to their own sovereignty as much as every other person on this planet.
Yep.
And that ought to be self-evident
to everyone.
And ever since, you know, having met and spoken with Robert Fisk, I really am convinced that at the moment you cannot have the conversation honestly. And that's why I think, you know, guys like Anthony, I give so much credit, because they will put their neck out for an honest debate. And we need to have an honest debate about this, because we are letting American foreign policy be driven by this Israel lobby in many ways.
Well, it's a good excuse for them. They say, you know, we've got to go in there and do this, because if Israel does it, then it's World War III. Well, that excuse has worn out, you know. What difference is it anymore if it's the United States or Israel? We're virtually the same thing in the Middle East.
I know. I'm just talking about this reminded me of something that I experienced a couple years back. I was working for a production company here in town, and the gig was a fundraising dinner for the National Jewish Museum here in Australia, which all sounded benign enough. And, you know, they got through the official portion of the exchange, and then suddenly a guy gets on one of the radio microphones and starts calling to raise money to fight and kill off the Palestinians. And this was like, a multi-thousand-dollar plate dinner. And the head lighting technician, myself, and another guy who was helping me run all the radio stuff backstage, we hear this thing kick up, and it seriously was very, very, almost impossible for all of us not to just go kill power.
Oh, I was just getting ready to cheer for you killing power, and you didn't do it?
Well, I tell you what, we were bloody close. We were bloody close, and the two blokes that I was working with are really, really good friends of mine, and people that I respect for their opinions and their beliefs. And I went to my boss the next day and told them, never, ever send me on one of those again. I refuse to supply production for people that want to collect money to kill anyone.
Great.
And I was told they respected my decision on that, but then suddenly I was never rung again for work.
Pretty awful.
And In the same month, I was working house in another venue, a very, very famous place here in Australia, and it's not the Opera House. And there was another similar event getting ready to go on, and I was the house operator. And my boss actually said to me, I would suggest you let someone else run this. And I said, why? He says, you're an American. And I said, what does that mean? And he says, I've seen what happens. And they would have, and I know this from someone else who was involved, they'll have Israeli Secret Service here, which is against the law for every other nation but Israel and Australia. They will pat down and search every single person involved. They lock all the doors. I happen to remember a very good friend of mine was having to deliver one piece of equipment to another one of these events. He had rung ahead to security, given his, you know, registration numbers, everything, description. And they pulled him out of his car and slammed him up against a wall and told him to stay there under gunpoint while they checked him out. When they turned their backs, he got back into the car with the gear that he hadn't left.
I guess.
And what worries me is that I have, like, this puts such a bad view on the Israelis in general when you have these, you know, fanatics coming out and representing them.
Well, they've been acting like fanatics for a really long time. You know, they'll go after whoever they call terrorists to the ends of the earth, whether it's legal or not. Mossad will just go and kill them.
I really wonder, I really wonder if Mossad has some effect in this. But, CB, I'm going to have to wrap you up because we have Sue from Wales on the line.
Okay.
And I would like, and since she's on hold from overseas, we got to take her. CB, we love hearing from you, and I bet we'll hear from you on Saturday on our show.
Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Right on. Thank you so much, CB. And Sue, you there? Sue from Wales.
Can you hear me?
We've got you. How are you?
I'm all right. You happen to be discussing one of my soapbox subjects.
Okay, well, step up on that box and tell us about it.
Well, there's this thing with Israel. I think too many people come back and say and call people anti-Semitic because they're saying something against the government and the way that Israel is acting as a country. And we have every right to comment on their behavior in the world. And I don't think that it's, how can I put it? It's not anti-Semitic. I've got some very good friends that are Jews, and they disagree with what Israel is doing.
Right. And you're not allowed to
do that. The way that they've treated the Palestinian people is appalling. And I'm very ashamed of my own government, the way they're acting. They tried to stand with the usual line of supporting the Palestinian cause, but I think they're stepping away from that, and I'm really ashamed that they would do that.
This is the whole problem with this whole subject, that we can't have an honest discussion about it because it gets shut down as being anti-Semitic, which, I'm sorry, is not the case. It is not the case.
This is true. And you know, it's just normal people's concerns with injustice. And, you know, it's reached the point. I mean, at one time, I used to support organizations to do with Palestine, but under the current climate, I can't even do that. Because otherwise, I can have someone come down on me, you're supporting terrorism.
It's insane.
And, Israel was born from terrorism.
It's very true. It is very true. And why I say that this is opposite world to an amazing extent. You know, we just completely deny one side of the argument. Completely. And How can you get anywhere if you're not allowing people to be part of the dialogue?
Well, this is it, and I think it's appalling that they would refuse to discuss, you know, the situation with a, you know, a democratically elected government.
tag them with a terrorism label.
Ooh,
and
I
hope that
remember,
everybody.
You take Lebanon, Hezbollah, in the political scene there. You know, and Hezbollah performed the same function for the people of Lebanon as the people of Hamas do for the Palestinians. You know, they're involved in all areas. You know, it's like with the Irish, with Sinn Féin. You know, eventually we had to come to the table with Sinn Féin, because if you don't talk to all parties, you can never solve anything.
One-sided discussions go nowhere. And, I mean, this applies to Iran.
Well,
Iran
to be a discussion. It turns into a diktat that we're saying that you must do this. You know, you can only elect what we want to elect. That is not democracy.
No,
you know,
they
can't choose. And, you know, fair enough, I know that it came a long way, but they can't say you have to hold democratic elections and then argue with who the people choose.
Well, you know, I think they were hoping that they could have influence in those elections. I mean, they tried to deny Hamas the ability to be on the ballot in some areas, if I remember correctly, hoping to disenfranchise enough of their voters to keep them from getting into office.
I'm afraid that I think Israel and the United States government indulge in far too much interference in other people's affairs. That is very, very bad for the world as a whole. And there have been so many democratically elected leaders that have been assassinated because it didn't suit one or other of the parties, you know? And this has got to stop, because most of the conflict that's going on over the world at this moment in time is caused by all of this interference and trying to direct things. And the human race isn't a stage play. You know,
no,
it can't
not.
Be directed in that way. But anyway, that's my opinion on it all. So,
I have a question for you, though, Sue.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was when I was doing the news on Sunday for Bruce. There was talk that Blair made statements that he could not back Bush going into Iran. Do you believe that to be true or just talk?
I believe I would like to believe that that is true, because the way the system is set up here with the parliamentary thing, I think he's got far too many people in his own party that are against him to start off with. I mean, he only got this last education thing through because the Tories voted with him. It was
right.
The Tories that carried it through for him, not his own party. And I believe that if it came to the point of this sort of nuclear option, I mean, because everybody over here, I think we all accept that Bush is as mad as a bag of badgers. And I think that there would be a call for no confidence in the Commons. And I think that they would, you know, a vote of no confidence would go through, and that would be the end of the government that we've got. And I really believe that that would happen, because I don't think enough people in the political scene over here are mad enough to go that road. And that's what I would like to believe, because too many of the Labour Party are totally against. They want to see the back of Blair.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if you know this, but my partner in life is English. She
really?
Lived in Brighton. Yeah, she lived in Brighton. She graduated from Sussex, actually.
Yeah.
And she talks about how when Blair came into power, you know, after all that time with Thatcher, they're going, finally a Labour government. But this guy is much more like the Tory.
I was jumping up and down in my bed at 1 o'clock in the morning with a bottle of red wine. No, I was going crazy. We were so happy. We expected so much after Thatcher. And it started so well, and then he just was never voting at all as the Prime Minister, I tell you.
Well, I mean, he's not Labour, so I would imagine that the Tories have even come out in opposition to him in certain things. So this has got to be really kind of confusing the lines of your parties over there over the last few years. Is that correct?
The one thing that I listened to today morning, it's on Radio 4. I listen to it a lot because, you know, you get really good interviews and that on there, is that there are a lot of people in certain areas that have always voted Labour, and they're starting to turn to the British National Party.
How do they stand? Where do they stand as far as left, right, centrist?
They're racist.
Really?
They want to bring us out of the common market. They're these same kind of thugs that brandish the cross of St. George at football matches that cause all the skinhead types they are.
Oh, right.
You know, they're the sort of our equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, it sounds like the Australian National Party.
And the thing is that they've never had a really big showing in this country. They've managed to get a local seat here and there, you know, local government seat, mainly as part of a protest vote. Usually, you know, people go this way. But if, you know, if something doesn't come up soon, if we can't get rid of Blair, God knows. You know, I don't just fear for what's happening in your country and in America. I fear for what's happening in my country. And I've just got a feeling that we're all going to end up having revolutions. I think it's all going to come to arms everywhere.
One last question.
All of our political processes seem to be broken.
I agree, and here's one more question for you. Have you seen the film of discussion V for Vendetta yet?
No, mainly because I'm agoraphobic and I can't go out the house. But
okay, well, when it comes out on DVD, you need to see this film because
I'm taking steps to get hold of it. And I also heard you mention a film, The Power of One.
Oh, there was a documentary called The Power of One, and that I do believe that was one of the U.S. soldiers who refused to fight and went to Canada. But I was using that term because one of the things that this film really pushes forward is the fact that there is power. There is the power of one person to change things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at the change that I watched a documentary yesterday, Fidel, The Untold Story, about Fidel Castro. And if anybody you can download it off the internet, it's on BitTorrent. It's a Channel 4 documentary, and it covers, you know, Fidel Castro's life. And
interesting.
What an absolutely extraordinary man. And that is the power of one man's principle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And fight.
Absolutely.
And
a lot.
Said, you know, you talk about David fighting Goliath. And yet Cuba is a totally independent country and tiny country. And believe me, if those people didn't love and respect that man, they would have overthrown him by now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, have you seen The Motorcycle Diaries?
No, I haven't had the chance to see that, but I did have a poster of Che Guevara when I was a teenager.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, we have it on DVD here. It's a really, really interesting film just because you get to learn a little bit about Che before he became the activist and before he became the revolutionary that he was, as he was actually a doctor.
Yes, absolutely.
And he and a mate went traveling across their own country
as part of their kind of medical experience. And it just, it's a fantastic journey of these two guys. And after he goes through everything at the leper colonies and everything else, you know, at the end he says something to the effect that something has changed in me. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I found it a very, very powerful film, and beautifully shot. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, no,
gorgeous.
I absolutely will, because I actually rewatched the documentary this afternoon with my daughter, and she's, 21 this year. And she was sat there, she was absolutely rapt by it, you know. And she says, what a wonderful man. She said, oh. And she said, he really cares for his people. And I can highly recommend this documentary if you can get your hands on it. It's just called Fidel, The Untold Story. And it's all, like I say, it's on the internet, because it was a Channel 4 documentary. And it is an absolutely fascinating documentary to watch, and I'd recommend it to anybody.
Well, so, we appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, why don't you email me a link if you have something like that, to john@fourthestateradio.com or to Bob at HeadOnRadio.com.
And I think you guys are doing a fantastic job standing in for Bob.
Thank you very much. All right, darling. Thank you so much for ringing in. And I know my girlfriend Gail is at work hearing you and loving to hear your voice, so... Thanks for ringing in. We got to take a break.
I lived for 4 years in Brighton. I was actually stationed there with the army in the barracks at Lewis Road. So I know all about it.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to hook you and Gail up on the phone someday.
Well,
she used to run a really famous pub there in Brighton.
And it's been
so anyway, we got
to
go. I'm sorry. I'm kind of losing you in the music and everything. But
okay.
Thanks so much for ringing.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Bruce and I will be back straight after this. It's about 35 past the hour, and we'll be back on Head On. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check. Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Birch, part of the Fourth Estate Radio Dynamic Duo, and we're back on the air here. John, you still with me over there, buddy?
Ah, you bet, man, you bet. Never going away, never going away.
I don't want you to go away, okay?
I won't.
But I do understand that we have a caller on the line who's been waiting for a little while. My good friend Jim is calling back to the program. Jim, what's shaking, man?
I guess the ice in my glass.
All right. Well, hey, that's a good thing, you know. It's,
right.
It's a,
you know. By the way, was that your blow up doll that just flew over my house?
I don't have any. I don't own any of those. But I'm thinking that one of our other callers tonight, George Bush, who called in earlier, I think he may have a few.
Well, this one, I heard that there was one flying around with George Bush and it has a transponder in it. I don't know.
Jim, where's the remote control?
I thought maybe you guys had it. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, on a more serious note, and I'm not trying to be a dog in a manger.
You better be. Okay. You better be careful there because you never know when you say something like that if it's going to turn into a promo, Jim.
Hey, that's fine. Fine with me.
Okay.
Can't tell, yeah. I mean, you know, my 15 seconds of fame. But nonetheless, we're somewhere. But, you know, I was just listening to the comments about Israel, and I'm trying to understand their mindset, okay? I mean, Sun Tzu once said in The Art of War, in order to understand your enemy, you've got to try to get inside of his head, okay? Are we not agreed on
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, when I lived in D.C., I went to the Holocaust Museum, and it was a moving experience. It certainly was. And if you've ever read the transcript of the Wannsee Conference of 20 January 1942 in Berlin, have you ever read the transcript of that meeting?
No, I have not, Jim.
I would suggest you look it up. And when you read it,
what?
It can certainly help. It helped me to understand to a degree, the Israeli mindset, okay? And I'm saying that, you know, since this is conversational radio, and people have varying degrees of opinions and you know, the sides upon which they take, I mean, I can, to a certain degree, understand a very well-developed sense of paranoia on their part.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think we could not let a discussion about Israel go without mentioning these things, because, I mean, let's face it, the Nazis had planned to kill 11 million people.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's something that's going to take more than a generation or two to go away, unfortunately.
Oh, I agree, and that's why I was asking before when CB was on the line, I believe, you know, is this something that very possibly, you know, I'm not understanding that they haven't recovered from that persecution well enough that it manifests itself in violence against others.
Well, and you know, it will be hard that, for a generation or two to erase that completely from their memory. And you know their children are taught about this in their school.
And yeah.
They're taught just like we have been carefully taught in our respective countries to honor certain memories and people in the past and things that have happened so that the history does not repeat itself. And I can to a degree understand certain elements of how they feel. And, you know, they have become fait accompli on the world stage, and there's no denying it. And I just wish that there were some moderate elements in the Israeli government to which we could appeal, saying that we know how you feel and we understand. However, a modicum of restraint will prevent from happening to other people what happened to you.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you nailed it right on the head there. This knee-jerk reaction to violence and confrontation is only going to set up the same situation all over again. And I think you've nailed it right on the head. And, you know, I think we need to open up this dialogue and have it honestly on all sides, because that's where the division comes up, as far as I can see. You know, this has been a very confused issue for a long time, Jim.
I mean, maybe I'm terribly naive, maybe I'm completely off the mark here, but I just wish to God that they could open up some type of dialogue so that these individuals would allow one another to live in peace.
Be a whole lot easier,
upon
wouldn't it?
Upon this wish, and that, you know, Israeli would not continue to be a type of puppet of certain elements of Zionism in this country. And, of course, within their own borders.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I it's such a clouded issue, and I think it's one of these...
I totally agree with you guys. This is a very clouded issue. And, you know, one that I think absolutely deserves, you know, more conversation as we, you know, progress, you know, through time. But the one thing that I wanted to get in, Jim, is I wanted to just sort of say thank you for the command of history that you have, that you've been able to bring to this conversation tonight, because it's been very enlightening to me.
Look up the or it's an HBO special with Stanley Tucci and Kenneth Branagh, and it's called Conspiracy. And I have been to Europe, and I've even visited the house where this took place. And it's hard to believe that these people could sit around from 12 until 2 in the afternoon and plot the extermination of 11 million human beings by industrial combustion. And that sort of thing is very hard to shake off and for people to forget. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I totally agree.
You go to Washington,
I totally agree.
Spend the whole day in the Holocaust Museum, and you can sit in the cattle cars and pick up the stones that they had to carry up at 9,000, or you could, you know, see the films of Auschwitz-Birkenau. There were two camps there. Birkenau was, of course, the one they used for the Jews. I mean, I cannot, from the depths of my heart and soul, have a certain degree of compassion and understanding for these people, which I hope will not be interpreted as weakness and foolishness, because I'm not a weak or a foolish man, I don't think.
Well, I think having compassion is not being weak. I think having compassion shows a certain amount of strength and character that is sorely lacking in some of those folks who are in charge of our country right now, my friend.
I think they're exploiting a certain sense of they're exploiting these sentiments to adverse ends, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And
Jim,
thanks
for calling again,
gentlemen, and I appreciate the dialogue.
No problem. Well, that's what conversation in the radio is all about, Jim. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Jim.
Good night. Thanks. And it's about 49 minutes past the hour. We got a little bit of time left. We're going to take a quick break and try to, you know, take a deep breath and come back and do the housekeeping stuff. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob's not with us tonight, but John and Bruce are holding down the ship. If you want to get in on Conversation Radio, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. We will be right back. Thanks.
Did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Sans Bob, because he's taking care of family matters. You've had Bruce and John from Fourth Estate Radio carrying you through the evening. Bruce, what a show!
It has been amazingly fantastic tonight. We have had a true command of interesting information, and not only that, but some history lessons as well. You know, this is information radio for, you know, for the left. I mean, we got to create the conversation. John, you have done a fantastic job tonight. So
you too, man. Thank you so much.
I sort of just jumped in here. You know, I was late because I was running around and doing some crazy things. I know we need to do a couple of housekeeping items, but I did want to, before we get out of here, I wanted to read you a letter that I found today.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, it's only going to take a couple minutes.
Please do.
This is Dennis Kucinich's letter to President Bush today. I'm just going to read it to you. I'm not going to preface. I'm just going to read it. Dear President Bush, recently it has been reported that U.S. troops are conducting military operations in Iran. If true, it appears that you have already made the decision to commit U.S. military forces to a unilateral conflict with Iran, even before direct or indirect negotiations with the government of Iran had been attempted without U.N. support and without authorization from the U.S. Congress. The presence of U.S. troops in Iran constitutes a hostile act against that country. At a time when diplomacy is urgently needed, it escalates an international crisis. It undermines any attempt to negotiate with the government of Iran, and it will undermine U.S. diplomatic efforts at the U.N. Furthermore, it places U.S. troops occupying neighboring Iraq in greater danger. The achievement of stability and a transition to Iraqi security control will be compromised, reversing any progress that has been cited by the administration. It would be hard to believe that such an imprudent decision had been taken, but for the number and variety of sources confirming it. In the last week, the national media have reported that you have in fact commenced a military operation in Iran. Today, retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner related on CNN that the Iranian ambassador to the IAEA, the Iranian ambassador to the IAEA reported to him that the Iranians have captured dissident forces who have confessed to working with U.S. troops in Iran. Earlier in the week, Seymour Hersh reported that a U.S. source had told him that U.S. Marines were operating in the Baluchi, Azeri, and Kurdish regions of Iran. Any military deployment to Iran would constitute an urgent matter of national significance. I urge you to report immediately to Congress on all activities involving American forces in Iran. I look forward to a prompt response. Sincerely, Dennis J. Kucinich, Member of Congress.
Gotta love the man. You gotta love the man. Brilliant. I mean,
brilliant.
There's nothing to be said except for spot on.
And these are the folks that we, at, you know, Panama Rick, he said it earlier in the program. This was the guy he tried to support and couldn't get anybody to come around. Now, you know what? How many other members of Congress are going to sign on to that?
With the state of the Democratic Party at the moment, I really have my doubts. I mean, we just have to look what happened with the censure hearings. And this is where Panama Rick is right. We need to get fully behind those that are actually doing the job and get rid of the Democrats that aren't doing the job.
Now, just so you know, there is another congressman, Peter DeFazio of Oregon, who intends to introduce a resolution expressing the sense of the Congress that the president cannot initiate military action against Iran without congressional authorization. He's planning on introducing this very soon and is forwarding his letter to other House members to collect additional signatures. DeFazio writes, "We are writing to remind you that you are constitutionally bound to seek congressional authorization before launching any preventative military strikes against Iran." It's heating up in Washington, John.
Man, I hope so, and it's got to get a lot hotter so that, you know, the asses of these jackasses end up burning and they end up getting out. I mean, this is... We talked about this on Saturday, man, and you talked about it on Sunday. I do not remember a scarier point in my lifetime than we're in right now. And I would think that the last time that it was this scary would have been probably the Cuban Missile Crisis. And that was before my time.
You know, it is scary. And we have, you know, here I've got teenage kids. You know, it's just absolutely boggles the mind. It does absolutely boggles the mind.
Yeah, and I sit there and think, you know, my son's in Germany, and if we do this, if Bush goes and does this thing, where's the radiation cloud going to go?
Oh, I think they blow east, my friend.
It's going to end up straight all over Europe. The fallout's going to end up all over Europe. It's going to be... If they do this, it's going to be an absolute mess, but I don't really want to end the show on such a scary point, so I reckon we should do a little bit of our housekeeping here. And
Before you do that, though, I don't think that's scary. I think, first of all, it's fantastic that we've got at least a couple of members of Congress that are actively pursuing holding this president accountable. And you know what? That's positive, man. That tells us that, you know what, there are some people up there that are doing what we need them to do. There are some people up there that are acting like opposition party. There are some people up there that are acting with integrity in a time when we need to have integrity in this nation. They are leading the charge. And you know what, my friend? Someday, the rest of those Democrats are gonna sign on to that because they know it's the right freaking thing to do. And you and I got to keep pushing for that to happen.